Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's time to get inside the Giants home.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
On Giants.com.
I like it.
And the Giants mobile app.
Boom, give me some juice.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Let's roll.
All right, welcome to Tuesday's Giants Little Podcast, our weekly hit with Sean O'Hara, one of my favorite shows of the week. It's all brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the New York Giants. Sean, we got to talk after a Giants victory. They defeat the Washington Commanders 14-7. I know, big dub for the Giants, and they did it with defense.
Yeah, phenomenal defense. Obviously, coming into the game, just 5 sacks on the entire season, and to get 6 sacks. You know, look, it was Washington, and Sam Howell is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL, but we will take it. It was pressure. You know, really, we've always talked about edge pressure, but there was good pressure interior.
Oh, Dexter Lawrence dominated the game.
Oh, man. He was eating Nick Gates' lunch all day long.
And Nick Gates likes his lunch, by the way. He does.
He's not scared. He's not missed many meals, no doubt. But I know that was going to be a matchup that he was looking forward to, and, of course, Nick was looking forward to it as well. They know each other so well. Of course, Nick Gates being a New York Giant for so many years before going down to Washington. But you know, the interior defensive line. Both Leo got his first sack of the season, I believe.
On a stunt, yep.
And that was actually Dexter took three guys
he took
with him.
It was a TT twist.
So Dexter is over here. He twists in there. He's the penetrator. And Leo looped around, and there was nobody there to block him. So defensively, they did a great job. I thought even stopping the run. Like, they were very they're very dominant in that capacity, very physical. Tate Banks got his first interception of the game. Bobby Okereke, another awesome performance, back-to-back weeks with 11 tackles. He was all over the field. And I tell you, the guy that's kind of flown under the radar, Micah McFadden.
No, he's had a nice couple weeks.
Like, he just keeps showing up. Like, they're sending him on blitz. That play where it should have been a pick six, Kayvon Thibodeau, the ball goes right through his hands. I think he was already visualizing the celebration before he caught it. But Micah McFadden was the blitzer on that play. He was the one providing the pressure, almost had the sack and forced that errant throw. So great job on defense, some things to clean up on special teams, but offensively found the end zone. That was huge.
Yeah, we'll talk about all that. I want to stick on the defense real quick. I thought they also had 3 or 4 just unblocked pressures, a couple which turned into sacks, one on the final defensive stand, which Howell managed to escape and almost got that pass for a first down.
Yeah, that was Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
And he was like, I could see him after the play, he was like hitting himself in the head like, oh, he should have had the sack. That should have been the game right there.
Yeah, he's lucky Howell threw it behind.
Yeah.
I think it was Curtis Samuel, right? Or was it Dotson headed towards us? I think it was Curtis Samuel heading towards the sideline. But I thought Wink did a good job of scheming that stuff up. And I was amazed when I watched back the tape on Monday morning. Eric Bieniemy kept calling these long downfield routes. Like, it's not like Sam Howell had all these checkdowns he was giving up. Like, he's getting pressure in his face, and guys are running 20-yard crossers, deep in cuts. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, Eric Bieniemy, haven't you figured out that you can't block these Giants defensive linemen yet, and they can't figure out the blitz package? Stop calling downfield routes. But much to the Giants' benefit, Howell kept holding the ball, and the Giants kept getting home.
Yeah, I wasn't going to correct Bieniemy. We were happy that he was going to have him hold on to the ball as long as he did. You know, you would have thought Jahan Dotson would have been a much more likely target, because he's kind of their intermediate
guy.
Or
their tight end, who they've been
targeting. Logan had a couple big catches. Actually, he broke a couple tackles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things worked out from that capacity. But I think the matchup that was really fun to watch was Tay Banks versus Terry McLaurin. Like, that was a really good battle.
They were yapping, too.
I thought Tay Banks more than held his own. And I thought that he proved to the league that he can hang with the best of them.
Look, he's gone against Diggs. He's a rough moment in the second half, though.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think for every defensive player, like, look, you're going to get beat sometime, especially as a corner. But I like the competitiveness in him. He didn't back down one iota. And, you know, you look at some of the receivers he's faced this season already. You know, I think he's a bright spot for the Giants going forward.
No, he did a really nice job, absolutely. All right, let's jump to the offensive side of the ball. not just one first half touchdown, Sean. We got two. Yeah. We got two for the price of one. And the bottom line, it was big plays. And the Giants had seven plays of 20 or more yards, one of which was a Tyrod Taylor scramble. I don't believe Saquon had a 20-yard run. So that means six passes of 20 yards or more, three of which went for 30 or more yards. That set up pretty much all their scores. And Tyrod Taylor, again, showing great touch on passes down the field. And on plays, by the way, he was able to get rid of the ball fairly quickly.
Yeah, I felt like this was a good recipe for us. Saquon has always had good games against Washington. He's kind of got their number. Coming into the game, I think he averaged 5.8 yards per touch, per carry on the ground. And it was the legacy game. So, you know what? Of course we bring back the explosive plays. So that was a big part of it. I think when you look at, obviously, getting Darren Waller involved, he had a monster game, his best game as a Giant.
7 for 98 and a touchdown.
That throw to Waller in the end zone was sick.
I mean, he wasn't really open. He threw him open.
He was kind of running behind the linebacker, and it was a perfect placement by Tyrod Taylor, and it was kind of our ball or nobody's ball. And Waller, as soon as he cleared the linebacker, he knew he was getting the ball. Like, he kind of looked back with urgency, and you could see it. So that was great chemistry, great connection, really good accuracy by Tyrod. And then I thought Tyrod did a really good job. When there was pressure, he was decisive. Like, you know, I'm running for the ball. I'm running for a couple yards. Even if he got 3 or 4 yards, it was a positive play as opposed to, you know what, waiting in the pocket and then there's a sack. So he did a good job with that. And then on the Saquon play, the 32-yard reception for the touchdown, that was Tyrod actually buying time, moving around with his legs.
Stepped up in the pocket.
But keeping his eyes downfield, seeing Saquon kind of break open from the linebacker. So those were obviously some really big plays. And then I thought, we talked about earlier, the throws up the sideline. Like Tyrod's throws outside the numbers. For 2 weeks in a row now, he's been money. Like, he's dropping them in the breadbasket. And I think as receivers, that's what you love. You know when a guy's going to give you a chance to make a good catch. That gives you a lot of confidence. So definitely it was very nice to see the explosive plays. I really think the defense fed off of that too. Yeah. And you could see they had a little more vigor. They had a little more energy when the offense started moving the ball and scoring points.
You're ready for a change. Payday comes early with Citizens. So go to that retreat. New you moves to the country. Now you're raising goats and launching a lifestyle brand. Are you ready for all that life brings?
Hey, Giant fans, I just watched this great new series with Eli Manning, Champion the Journey, presented by Citizens. Eli talks with Tracy Wolfson about life after the Giants, though he's still with the Giants, just in a different capacity, and everything he's working on now, like broadcasting and his business endeavors. You can check out the series now at citizensbank.com/championthejourney. And we've given some, maybe heat is the wrong word, but I'll use it here, to the Giants wide receiver, Sean, not making those plays above the X's and O's and making a lot of yards after catch. Well, you had three short passes in this game. One to Wanda Robinson. That was just a simple throw in the flat that turned into a 20-yard gain. There was a short, shallow cross to Darren Waller that turned into a 20-yard gain. Then he had the pass you mentioned already to Barkley, which was just a little pass to the flat. He breaks the tackle, turns it upfield for 30 yards. So while Tyrod deserves all the credit he gets for those passes down the field, the receivers made the most of a couple of the simple short passes, too, that they turned them into big plays.
I think the key with short passes is accuracy.
You got to get them on the move, right?
Yeah. If you hit them in stride, now all of a sudden they don't have to slow down at all, and now they can break those tackles. So, excuse me, the timing is big, but the accuracy might even be more important. So I thought Tyrod did a really good job with that. And Jalen Hyatt made some unbelievable catches, and he almost had that one-handed touchdown catch. Like, that would have been – very Odell-like, that one-hander in the end zone. I thought he provided a nice
play. Do you think his arm was getting pinned? Do you think he just was trying to fend them off with one and then grab it? I couldn't tell on the replay.
I think there might have been some grabbing going on, but like, he kind of corralled the ball into him, and then it hit the shoulder pad of the defender, and that kind of knocked it out. But it was almost a sick catch.
And then he did a good job of breaking up a potential pick on the other one down the left sideline that went to the safety.
Yeah, he had to play defense. Since we're giving the receiver some love, too, you know, I know you were probably going to get to it, but the offensive line.
They were next. Go ahead. Give them love. They weren't great, but they were certainly good enough. And there was one play to Darren Waller which really stood out to me, Sean. He caught him in cover one. On most cover one plays, he was just kind of going deep, high, quick down the sideline, right? But it was a max protect. Two tight ends stayed in to chip, and Barkley on a play action stayed in, too. But as we've seen the first 5 or 6 weeks, that hasn't necessarily meant that nobody's getting to the quarterback, but it held up, and that was that deep cross from Waller that went for 30 yards. And I'm like, That is one of the first plays all year where I've seen them actually be able to hold the ball back there, scan the field, wait for someone to get open down the field. And the offensive line, even if they just do that a few times over the course of the game, it can make all the difference, and the line did do that in this game.
Yeah, I just kind of want to paint the picture for Giants fans, for anybody else that's watching this right now. Like, just picture this. The two starting tackles in this game, Justin Pugh and Tyree Phillips, were not on the team when the season started. Justin Pugh was literally on his couch. He didn't play in the preseason. He didn't play in training camp. Tyree Phillips was with the Eagles as of Tuesday afternoon. He was on their practice squad. So the Giants signed him Tuesday, bring him up. He's basically introducing himself to Tyrod in the huddle, like, hey, you know, I'm your right tackle.
Now remember, he was here in the summer, which helped a little bit.
Right, he was here last year. He started, I think, five games, you know, a couple at right tackle and one at left tackle. So, you know, a little familiar with the offense. But for him to come in and start at right tackle, and I thought he played well. Look, there's going to be a couple plays where, you know, I'm sure he'll say he wishes he could do
a few pressures. He did a good job.
Yeah, he did a really nice job. And I think at that point, you just wonder if the communication's there. Mark Lewinsky back in at right guard. Marcus McKeithen is at left guard. You know, Bredesen in there at center. And, you know, I thought Pugh, basically he gave up probably two sacks in the game. Chase Young is a heck of a player, but I thought the offensive line, for having never played together, that five, I think you have to give them credit, because Bobby Johnson's been taking strays left and right. People are, you know, kind of grumbling about the offensive line. This is a mash unit right now out there, and the fact that they were able to hold up, not just in the passing game, but there were some legitimate holes. There were some running lanes for Saquon.
No, about 4 yards per carry.
I think that was an impressive feat for both the offense, for the offensive line. Bobby Johnson certainly did not get a lot of sleep, because the one thing people don't think about, when you sign a guy like that, Tyree Phillips, guess who has to spend extra time like getting him up to speed on the playbook?
Bobby Johnson.
Got to figure it out. The coaches are the ones that got to spend extra time making sure this guy knows what he's doing, even in the hotel, Saturday nights, like, all right, let's go through everything again. So, you know, definitely a game ball to all those guys.
Yeah, I thought they did a really nice job. I agree with you. Hey, Giant fans, Citizens are presenting a new video series, Champion the Journey, where Eli Manning talks to Tracy Wolfson about his elite quarterbacking skills that helped make him ready to succeed in his post-football career. Watch the series now at citizensbank.com/championthejourney. Citizens, the official bank of the Giants. And now this week, Sean, as of this recording, we don't know who's going to be back. Giants taking on the Jets. We'll see if Daniel Jones is back. We'll see if Andrew Thomas is back. John Michael Schmitz, we'll have to monitor that over the course of the week. But the Jets, it's another really good defensive front. And frankly, it's probably a better front in terms of rushing the passer than Washington is, if you look at their pressure rates and stuff like that. And they're deep. This is one of those Philadelphia Eagles type of fronts that goes 6, 7, 8 deep. They got a bunch of edge guys that can get after the quarterback. Quinnen Williams is one of the best pass rushing defensive tackles in the league. We'll see if the Jets get their two cornerbacks, Reed and Sauce Gardner, who both missed their last week prior to the bye. But the Jets' defense is something. So this is going to be another tall order for the Giants' offense.
The thing that jumps out right away, obviously the pressure you mentioned, but the takeaways. Like defensively, you know, they just had a bye week, so the standings probably changed. But they were leading the league in takeaways as of a week and a half ago. So that's huge. Obviously the three takeaways that they had against the Eagles that helped them win that football game.
And week one against Buffalo, too.
Yeah, week one. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this defense is so physical up front. Jermaine Johnson is the guy that just – I mean, when you turn on the film, you're like, man, this guy's demolishing people. So that's going to be a tough out. And I think for Andrew Thomas, if he can come back, that absolutely helps this offense out. It gives it more stability at the left tackle. And then you could always move Justin Pugh in at guard if you needed to, and that gives some more strength up front as well. So that'll be big. And then, of course, for Evan Neal. But no doubt, you know, as much as their pass rush is good, you know, Quinnen Williams is a stud up front. You know, they've got some other guys out there, and I think two of the most impact guys on that defense right now are Quincy Williams.
Quinnen's younger brother.
He's actually leads the team in tackles, and C.J. Mosley, who's second in tackles. C.J. Mosley has been on fire. He's a tackling machine. That guy plays downhill. He's got such great instincts. Like, when you watch the film, he's moving towards the ball before anybody else like kind of recognizes and diagnoses the play. So he's got a great nose for the football. That's going to be a big challenge. How do you kind of scheme? You want to run a screen play to Saquon Barkley? Well, you better have somebody out early finding C.J. Mosley, because he's like a heat-seeking missile. He will find that running back. He's got a bunch of tackles for a loss as well. So he's a heat seeker. He's coming downfield. And look, he's got a bunch of pass breakups too. He's got one interception on the season, but C.J. Mosley is very good. I think he's very underrated as a pass defending linebacker. Fred Warner is probably the best in the league right now, but C.J. Mosley's not far behind.
Yeah, and again, DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner, their two top corners. We'll see if they're able to play in this game. And then, you know, two guys we didn't even mention, Bryce Huff and Will McDonald. These guys are guys with legitimate pass rush juice, and they're like their fourth and fifth like edge players. These are guys that will be getting significant snaps for the Giants. Their pressure rates are through the through the roof. So whoever plays on an offensive line is going to have to get the job done. I think it's going to be important, again, Sean, like this week, to not get behind, and we'll get to what the defense has to do against their offense in a second, and run the ball and stay balanced. Because you don't want to drop back 30, 35 times against this Jets defense.
No, you definitely don't. And when you're playing a team like the Jets that has that much depth, like one of the things that we talk about saying, hey, we should go into it and go an up-tempo. Like, it's not the two-minute offense, but if you go up-tempo, now they can't substitute.
And Giants did that against Washington, too. They did a lot in the huddle in the first half
and
that
that's
game.
By design. Number one, you want to kind of create a little vanilla scheme defensively, but it doesn't allow them to substitute. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing tougher than an offensive lineman. On the eighth play of the drive, they bring in a fresh set of horses, and now they got fresh legs, and they're teeing off on you on play nine. So if you can get some long drives in there and go no huddle, just a little up-tempo, that can kind of work in your favor.
You love turf. You're good at it. So you start a turf biz. Business grows, your savings grow. Become the most celebrated name in turf. Are you ready for all that life brings?
All right, then the Jets offense, this is going to come down to stopping the run. Breece Hall is not just a good running back. He is a big play waiting to happen. You give him space, he can take off, and you're not catching him. He, you know, go back to his combine numbers. He ran in, I believe it was a high 4.3s or low 4.4s, but he's very fast. And we'll get to Zach Wilson in a second. But for an offensive line like the Jets, which is not quite in the dire straits the Giants' offensive line is in, but it's not in great shape either, they're going to want to run the ball and protect their quarterback with Breece Hall.
Yeah, no doubt. They're going to want to build everything off the play action. Breece Hall has been so explosive. So you've obviously got to tackle him and eliminate those big runs. But he's averaging 6.5 yards a carry. Yeah. So he's definitely their bell cow. Gary Wilson, you know, we saw them in the preseason, right? Aaron Rodgers kind of threw that fade, that back shoulder fade to him, the one touchdown that he had in the preseason. And I think when you look at those matchups, you know, that's going to be a big part of this as well. The one guy I think that really is, you know, going to be a lot of focus on is Kayvon Thibodeau against Mekhi Becton. So Becton obviously was at right tackle when the Giants played him in the preseason. That was his first time actually playing with the ones. Now he's over at left tackle, so things are a little bit different. He's been a little susceptible to the inside move. Mekhi has.
And that's how Thibodeau's gotten home a couple times this year, by the way.
Mekhi, I mean, Kayvon has had multiple sacks. Two or three of his sacks have come from that inside move.
And he had another one and a half this week, by the way, up to 5.5 on a year now.
Yeah, he had two against Seattle doing that exact same move. So that'll be key to watch. You know, and obviously, it's a Giants home game. It's 1 o'clock. Crowd noise should be a factor. So I thought the fans did a great job showing up for the legacy game. They were loud. They were into the game against Washington. We're going to need that same kind of energy.
And as for Zach Wilson, he's improved. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's not making the type of game-killing, critical mistakes that you can't live with as a coach as he was last year. And he made some big plays, too. Some of those throws he made against the Chiefs in that primetime game were great. Obviously, he had the fumbled snap in that game, which he was beating himself up over. But he's still not a guy that's going to put the offense on his back and carry it. So he's mobile. He can make some big throws. He will throw it to Garrett Wilson in coverage, trust him to make some plays. But he's not a guy that's going to carry the offense here. I think Wink, the same way he did with Sam Howell and with that offensive line, some of the fronts he shows and some of the blitz packages, zone dogs, you know, blitz playing man, dropping guys, bringing secondary guys, that type of stuff could be really effective against a young offensive line, a banged-up offensive line, and a quarterback like Zach Wilson.
I fully expect Wink to bring that heat early on.
The full package will be on display.
You kind of want to – whenever you have a young quarterback and somebody who maybe is not seeing everything exactly the way that they should – you want to test them early.
Young center, too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that whole protection aspect of it. And if you could send a blitz and get home, it's like, all right, we're running that again until they put that fire out. So I think for Zach, you know, obviously for the Jets, they want to get him some early completions, early success, build that confidence. And for Wink, it's, no, we want to put that fire out. We want to get after him and hit him. And that's when the turnovers start to really show up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they had Tippmann at center. He's actually been a guard. So Connor McGovern's been at their center. He's obviously done this for a while. So, but again, just final question. Taking back to your memories of your Giants-Jets rivalry games, what is it like? preseason, I'm throwing those out. Regular season Giants, Jets, Brandon Jacobs, Rex Ryan, brawls, take me back to your favorite Giants, Jets memories.
Yeah, well, it's funny. You bring up Brandon Jacobs, and I think he called Rex fat boy or something. So that was interesting banter. I think being in the area here, like I was friends with Mark Sanchez, Nick Mangold, like you get to know some of the guys, Jabrickashaw Ferguson, and there was never animosity between the Jets and the Giants players. It was kind of like, hey, we share a home, we're kind of like stepbrothers, like, you know, you want to see them do well, but also when you're playing against each other, it's like, all right, you want to choke them out a little bit, like you want to show them who's boss. So I think there's definitely some of that. I always kind of go back to, you know, like when Bart Scott was there, and you know they always had some physical defensive players. Like we knew when we're playing the Jets, like, all right, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be a long day. I mean, there was, you know, you go all the way back, and I'm trying to think of the defensive end's name that is escaping. John Abraham.
Oh, John Abraham. Yep.
Yeah, Hugh Douglas was a big part of that, but John Abraham was there. Like they always had good pass rushers. That was always the key. So we knew as an offensive line, you know, we've got our work cut out for us. And then of course, when they signed Chris Jenkins, that was a beast of a move for us. So definitely some good battles, some good memories. I can't help but think about the play that Victor Cruz made. You know, I think it was down on the 3 or 4 yard line, and he jukes Cromartie and then outruns. I'm trying to think of who the safety was that he outran for that big touchdown, and that basically vaulted the Giants' season that year.
And I'm looking forward to remember we saw Sauce Gardner and Jalin Hyatt have that one-on-one in the preseason game where Hyatt tried to beat him deep. I'm curious to see if we're going to have that matchup in this game. That could be fun.
Yeah, a little Hyatt sauce. I like it.
Absolutely. Sean, good stuff, my man.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean O'Hara, Giants Huddle Podcast, brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the New York Football Giants. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.